To the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. We'll be reading verses 81 through 88. Psalm 119. Starting with verse 81. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching for your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. May the Lord bless this reading of his holy word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we so can relate to this psalmist. Sometimes we just feel the persecution in our life, Lord, but you are faithful. We can always turn to you. It's so wonderful to know that you will not fail us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Jeff. The one who reigns forever, he's a friend of mine. He's a friend of mine. He is faithful. In fact, the entirety of what we're going to look at this morning, it brings us to the conclusion, really, of God's faithfulness, how faithful he is to us, how good he is to us. But in our life, knowing who we are, in fact, we're going to learn a little bit about ourselves this morning, too. But in our life, waiting on the Lord can be one of the most difficult things that we can go through. As we're in the midst of a trial and wondering when it's going to end, waiting on the Lord and his timing, his provision, his will on the matter is one of the most difficult things we can go through. And we're going to learn a little bit about that this morning, but it can cause us to worry. It can cause us to doubt. It can even cause us to question God at times. I want you to imagine for just a minute with me, and some of you might be into this, some not, but you're just imagining with me, okay? But imagine for a minute that you went skydiving, all right? Now, maybe you've done it before. I don't know, but we're just imagining here, okay? We're just imagining. You're at 10,000 feet. You jump from the airplane, and you can see for what seems like forever. I mean, you're so high up, you can actually see the curvature of the earth. All you can hear is wind roaring in your ears as you seem to just float in midair. You're thoroughly, we're imagining, enjoying the trip. All right, you're thoroughly enjoying the trip. It's like nothing you've ever done before. But then it comes time for you to pull the cord and open your chute, and nothing happens. You try again, still nothing happens. You try it over and over, and all of a sudden, suddenly, what seemed like such an incredible, pleasurable experience turns into a sick and frightening experience. The earth that looked so beautiful just a moment ago has now become your enemy. And as the ground is rushing closer and closer, you try your secondary emergency chute. Nothing happens. You try again and again and again, still no chute. And in desperation, you begin crying out to the Lord, save me. But you don't seem to be getting an answer. You keep pulling it and nothing happens. You begin praying, crying out for mercy, wondering, why is God not answering my prayer? Why is God not listening to my pleas? And you continue pulling, and the chute will not open. The ground's getting really close now. It's coming up fast, and you are feeling weak. Perhaps weaker than you have ever felt before, and your screams have turned to disbelief and discouragement as to why this is happening to you. And we may feel as if we just want to give up. That's it. I'm done. This is the end. But then quietly and almost without reason, you remember how God has been faithful to you in the past. You remember how God called you to Himself through Jesus Christ. You remember how He promised to take care of you and how He promised you eternal life. And one last time, you pull that cord and the chute opens. And there you are. There you are, completely suspended, completely secure and safe, hanging from that parachute now as if there was never a problem in the first place. And you land safely on the ground. Now, I know this is just an illustration. It's just a story. But it's an illustration of what I think oftentimes happens inside of us when we are in the midst of a trial and we need to wait on the Lord. As we go through trials in our life, we often wonder, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Why are things not working as they should? What possible purpose could this be serving? And we think, why is God not doing something? And we want to just give up. Just give up. Until we quietly come to our senses and take refuge in the promises of God. The very thing that God has wanted us to do the entire time. The entire time. I want you to listen again to the verses 81 through 83, because these three verses are actually going to be our focus this morning. But look, listen to what the psalmist says here. He says, "My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, 'When will you comfort me?' For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes." These three short verses not only identify what we may go through as we are waiting on the Lord and His answer and His will, okay, in the midst of trials, but they bring us to the conclusion that God desires in us as we do. All right? Our subject this morning is when we must wait. And Psalm 119, verses 81 through 83 actually describe the possible products of waiting on the Lord. And I'm going to differentiate this for a minute. While they are connected, the word waiting and trusting are connected, there is also a differentiation in that, okay? Because waiting is waiting. We are to trust while we're waiting, but waiting is waiting. And we're going to look at some of the products of waiting on the Lord. And the very first one, when we wait on the Lord, know this. Again, we're going to learn some things about ourselves. And the first thing is, our soul can faint. Our soul can faint. Verse 81, the psalmist says, "My soul faints for your salvation." When we must wait on the Lord, we can become weary. And I think some translations actually have the word weary there rather than faint. But here's a question. Does God promise salvation to His children? Yes, Absolutely, to his children. He promises salvation. Ultimately, we are promised his rescue, if not physically, most certainly spiritually and eternally. Can we count on God in that? Absolutely. So why? Why do we become weary when we know he cares? When our children were just babies, they would lay in their crib at night and cry. And sometimes even scream because they wanted something. And we as parents would check on them to make sure they had a clean diaper, make sure that they were fed, and make sure they were generally okay. But oftentimes, they would just cry and scream anyway. All right? I'm guessing your kids probably do that too, all right? Or did that too. No, all right. Anyway, our kids did. All right, our kids did. And they do that because they're babies. That's what babies do. They cry. And we as parents learned that in those times, we would just allow them to scream and cry long enough that it would finally wear them out and they would go to sleep. They would finally go to get the rest that they needed, okay? Well, I would just like to suggest, all right, that this is what the Lord does with us sometimes. He has promised to care for us, and he does so perfectly. Yet as soon as we get a little uncomfortable, as soon as we think we have a need, the instant we encounter a trial, and God does not come immediately to make it all better, we start crying and screaming. Now, I won't read them, but in later verses, Jeff read them. The psalmist cried out and screamed to God, "Help me!" And it was because his enemies were persecuting him and trying to harm him. And in verse 81, he says his soul fainted for God's salvation. Well, there are several reasons. Again, we're going to learn a little something about ourselves this morning, but there are several reasons that our soul may grow faint. Number one is worry. Worry wearies our soul. A lack of trust in God who saves us eternally can save us physically, that's called worry. It can wear us out. It steals our sleep. It diminishes our appetite. Worry increases our blood pressure. Worry consumes our mind. Worry causes depression. Worry wearies the soul. But also, want wearies the soul. Want is just that. It is us wanting something that may or may not be within God's will. And we want it now. We want it now. And we cry out and scream to God for it. And God may just let us scream until we're too tired to scream anymore and we are forced to just rest in him. The very thing he's wanted all along. We're just a bunch of babies, really. We are. But we are babies that God cares deeply about. I want to read you a couple passages from the New Testament. You don't have to turn there, but just listen. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." He loves us so much that he gave his own Son to die for our sins, so that through faith in him, we become his children. That's incredible. Here's another one. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And in Luke chapter 12, verses 29 through 31, Jesus says, "And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." Because of our nature, though, when we wait on the Lord, when we must wait on the Lord, our soul can faint. But secondly, the second product we find here, when we must wait on the Lord, our eyes can fail. Our eyes can fail. The beginning of verse 82 says, "My eyes fail from searching your word." Some of the most difficult things to wait for are those things that we can't see the end of. I immediately thought of a traffic jam. And I'm guessing that most of you have been in one before, but if you're anything like me, the entire time you're in a traffic jam, I'm looking out the window. What is going on up there? Okay, it isn't rush hours or some kind of traffic. I want to know what's going on up there that's keeping me from moving forward. Some people honk their horn as if that's going to help. But some of the most difficult things to wait for are those things that we can't see the end of, or at least we think we can't. Okay. However, we serve a God who not only knows the end, but has promised a happy one for us, for His children. Proverbs 16:20 says, "Whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he." But when we can't see the promises of God's word being fulfilled in our life, there are things about our nature that blind us. They blind us. God promises comfort, but we fail to see it. Notice that in this verse, okay, it's not God's word that is failing. It's the psalmist's short-sightedness. And this psalm hints really at three reasons our eyes can fail us as we look for God's promises. Here they are. Discouragement. Discouragement can blind us. It can blind us. Later in this stanza, the psalmist says, "My enemies are digging pits for me to fall into. They are persecuting me wrongfully. Even though God says He will never leave me nor forsake me, I can't see Him right now." That's basically what the psalmist is saying in this stanza. And discouragement, it can blind us. Another thing that can blind us is disagreement. Disagreement can blind us. We question God. "When are you going to comfort me? When are you going to judge my enemies? Why are you allowing this to happen in my life?" When we disagree with God, it can actually blind us to His will, His plan, His purposes, and His promises. And then disbelief can blind us. It is really difficult to see God's promises when we fail to believe God's promises. When we must wait on the Lord, our own eyes, our own short-sightedness can be our own worst enemy. However, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus says there, He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." He continues, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Psalm 34:8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." But our own short-sightedness can be our own worst enemy. And then thirdly, the third product, when we must wait on the Lord, our flesh becomes fragile. The very beginning of verse 83 says, "For I have become like a wineskin in smoke." When we must wait on the Lord, our flesh can become fragile. Now, in the time of the psalmist, one of the ways that they would speed up the aging and fermenting process of wine was to put full wineskins in a smoker of sorts. However, not only would it speed up the aging process of the wine, but the wineskins used in the process would also become weaker faster. And here the psalmist says that because of worry, because of wanting, because of discouragement, remember, smoke kind of blocks our view, right? His short-sightedness, because of discouragement, because of disagreement, his flesh was feeling really fragile. Our flesh, and again, we're learning something about ourselves here, our flesh becomes fragile because it is already weak. Know that, all right? We are weak vessels. In Matthew 26:41, Jesus said to his disciples, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." In fact, one of the reasons God desires that we wait on him, trust in him, is to show us just how weak we really are and how much we truly need to just rest in him. In Romans 3:20, it says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And in Romans 8:3, it says, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin." You see, we are saved ultimately through faith in Jesus Christ because we can't do it ourselves. We needed God for salvation. We need God right now. In Romans 13:14, it says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh." Forget about depending upon the flesh. It's weak. Depend on Christ. Our flesh becomes fragile because we are weak, and our flesh becomes fragile because we waver. We waver. Sometimes we trust in God. Sometimes we don't. In James 1:6, he says, "He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." That's pretty weak. That's pretty fragile. But here's some encouragement for us from Isaiah chapter 40. And this will lead us into really the whole point of everything we're looking at this morning. But in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31, the prophet Isaiah says this, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable, and he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." But when we must wait on the Lord, our soul can faint. Our eyes can fail. Our flesh is fragile. But lastly, and in conclusion this morning, when we must wait on the Lord, and this is the key point of everything we've looked at, our Lord is faithful. He is faithful. Look at the end of verse 83. He says, "Yet I do not forget your statutes." Here's a statute. It's from Proverbs chapter 3. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, "If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself." This is the conclusion that God desires us to come to in all of our trials. We can have faith in God's statutes because God is faithful to them. He is incapable of being unfaithful to them because it's contrary to His nature. Being faithful is what He does. It's what He does. Now, there are several versions of this old story, and it goes along these lines. There was a scorpion that wanted to get across a stream, and he asked a frog for a ride on his back. It's not a true story. Well, as you can imagine, the frog does not trust the scorpion because scorpions sting. That's what they are known for. That is their nature. And as a result, the frog says to him, "I can't do it. You'll sting me." To which the scorpion says, "Well, how smart would that be? You're giving me a ride across the river, and if I sting you, we're both doomed." So the frog finally agreed. He took the scorpion on his back. They began to cross, and right before they reached the other side, the scorpion stung the frog. And the frog's last words were, "Why did you do that? Why did you do that?" The scorpion's last words were, "I'm a scorpion. It's what I do." Gladly, God by nature is faithful. He is faithful. God by nature is trustworthy. His statutes tell us that He is perfect. In a sense, they tell us, hey, faithfulness is what I do. It's what I do. And God's faithfulness is really, really good news for us because we, by nature, can faint. We fail. We are fragile. And when we wait on the Lord, not only will we discover our own weaknesses, but we can experience God's faithfulness. The psalmist did, and he noted it in these three verses. He noted three things. He noted, first of all, that He, God, is the holder of hope. Look at the end of verse 81. He says, "But I hope in your word." No matter how much we may worry and want to be out of the situation that we are currently in, we can have confident hope in God. He has a purpose for the things that we are going through right now, and it will not go beyond His control because He is faithful. He is the holder of hope. He is the cause of comfort. The end of verse 82, saying, "When will you comfort me?" Even though the psalmist was discouraged and even questioned God's timing in his comfort, the question wasn't, "Will you comfort me?" but "When? When will you comfort me?" Because he knew that God is faithful. And in His timing only, God can be the cause of comfort. And then He is the performer of promises. The end of verse 83, "Yet I do not forget your statutes." Even though he perhaps felt weaker than he has ever felt, he remembered that God is faithful. He will do what he says he will do because that's his nature. When we wait, our God is faithful. And therefore, kind of looking back maybe to even our original illustration about skydiving, God is faithful. He'll do what he says he will do, and therefore it is always too soon to quit. It's always too soon to give up. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. When we wait, our God is faithful, and therefore it is always too soon to give up. No matter how we may worry and want, no matter how discouraged and weak we may feel, it is always too soon to give up. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that is why we must wait on the Lord. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for your faithfulness. And in that, we ask your forgiveness for those times when we do worry, those times when we do waver, those times when we are discouraged and perhaps even disagree with you. Father, we ask your forgiveness for that, and we pray this morning that whatever degree of trial that we are going through right now, and I can't help but think that every single person in this room this morning is going through some kind of trial to some kind of degree. Lord, my prayer is that you would give us strength, that you would remind us of your promises to us, that we could look into your word and not be short-sighted, but be reminded of how good and how faithful you are. Lord, we thank you for that this morning, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.